great deacon, Melchizedek Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated, and may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today I'd like to speak on the topic of protesting. Now, in the world today, we see protests, but the house of Yahweh protests differently than how the world protests. Now, protesting, from Webster's, is to strongly speak against, to express disapproval, an objection, or a formal statement of objection. I have some articles here, and this shows how what the way of Cain leads to. Airstrikes in Pakistan kill at least 50, the security officials say. The Pakistan military and its jets killed 35 suspected militants on Wednesday as part of the anti-Taliban offensive hours after another explosion nearby, which was a U.S. drone, which killed up to 20 people. Also, the annual U.S. healthcare hits $3.8 trillion. Is Gaza fighting simply fueling violence? And they say that people in Gaza, they're now thinking about either to commit suicide or to stay alive to get revenge. And the Abilene churches, they gather to pray for rain. People from different churches through Abilene came together on June 1st at Beltway Park Baptist Church to pray for one common issue, rain. And then also, there was a ceasefire, and Israel pounds Gaza after Hamas reported kidnapping an Israeli soldier. And it says, tank fire and airstrikes plumb Gaza as Israeli forces move deeper into the West Bank, searching for a soldier apparently captured by Hamas militants, despite a three-day ceasefire that didn't even last for 2 hours. And so, the reflections of the death that was haunted this week. Now, think of, there's 41 wars being fought right now around the world. And one of those wars this week have killed 298 people. So, if we could go over to Genesis 4. It's found on page 3. Genesis 4. And we'll start off with verse 5 through 8. But this is talking about Cain and Abel. Verse 5, found on page 3, it says, but he did not honor Cain of his offering. And so Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So Yahweh said to Cain, why are you angry? Why are you downcast? If you do righteousness, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do righteousness, sin is crouching at your door. The desire to sin is with you, but you must overcome it. Then Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and when it came to pass that they were spread abroad, Cain rose up against Abel, his brother. He protested against Abel, his brother, and he killed him. And in verse 15, it says, and Yahweh said to him, it is established, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And Yahweh set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. And also, years later, you see the same attitude. If we could turn over to Numbers, found on page 124, Numbers 16. And we'll read verse 2 through 3. This is the story of Korah. And it says, and they rose up, they protested against Moshe and Aaron. And they said to him, you have gone too far. The whole congregation is holy, every one of them. And Yahweh is with them. Why then do you exalt yourself and set yourself above Yahweh's assembly? And then also, 1 Samuel 8, and we're going to read verse 1, or 4 through 8. And it says, "And the elders of Samuel," it's found on page 228, "and the elders of Samuel, and the elders of Samuel gathered together and approached him when he was at Ramah, saying to him, 'You are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Appoint us a king to judge us, just like all the other nations.' But these things displeased Samuel, especially when they said, 'Give us a king to judge us.' Then Samuel prayed to Yahweh, and Yahweh answered Samuel and said, 'Listen to all the words that they speak to you, for they've not rejected you, they've rejected me, that I should not reign over them. Just as they've done to me, from this day I brought them out of Egypt to this very day, they are now doing to you. They are forsaking me in order to serve God's Elohim.'" And so scriptures show the righteous way to protest. In Matthew 24, verses 14, Matthew 24 and verses 14, it's found on page 752, and it says, "And this message of the kingdom will be preached to all the world by the one who bears witness to all nations, and then the end will come." And for your notes, you could also write down Revelation 11, verses 3. And pastor, he gives us authority to protest with the peaceful solution, character education program, which is Yahweh's laws. Praise Yahweh. In the 13th book of Yisrael, page 207, and it's verse 61, "The wind, Francis, be turning over to Mark 4, this is Yachanan Mark, "the wind will never obey you. The wind hears and they will obey Yahweh's family. The wind will. The wind you will never command. The wind you will never obey. And that's greater than any nuclear war. If you've seen what it did last week, now that's probably a minor storm to what you're going to see if you don't let Yahweh's people go." And so this is a example here of pastor protesting against the Catholic Church and what Pope Francis does. And so with that, everyone please stand, and I'll turn it over to the next speaker. Deacon Tovia.
Shabbat shalom, you may be seated.
Shabbat shalom.
How's everyone doing on this beautiful Sabbath day? Well, today I'm going to be talking a little bit about the money that is being spent throughout the United States and throughout the world. And, you know, the amount of money that goes into this great war machine here in these last days, the United States, along with all the other countries, you know, we could take just a portion of that and turn this around, as you all know, okay? And that's what we're trying to tell the world is, look, we could take a small bit of this money and make peace throughout the whole world, okay? But let me give you read this article first. It says, "How many U.S. soldiers are there in the U.S. military?" Okay? So it says, Army, 507,000. Navy, 347,000. Air Force, 347,000. Marines, 179,000. Coast Guard, 41,000. Okay? Reserves, 100,000, and paramilitary is 53,000, okay? So that totals 2,475,000 individuals that are involved in this U.S. military. Now, that's just military. They're paid by the government, okay? Now, let's look at some other countries, okay? So the United States is at 2,475,000, okay? And these are just some of the much larger countries. Let me find it here. Okay, so we have China, 3,927,000. Israel, 749,000. Russia, 3,240,000. United Kingdom, 371,000. Okay, so you can see the amount of people that are involved here. Now let's look at some of the cost, okay? Here's an article that says the nearly $1 million a soldier, $1 million soldier, okay? The Pentagon's top counter was ready when the senator asked him a simple question Tuesday. How much does it cost to keep a single American soldier in Afghanistan for a year, right now? This article was February 29, 2012, okay? Robert Hale, of the Pentagon, responded, about $850,000 per soldier. Okay, the reason that is because of the fuel cost. To get the soldier there and back, the amount of fuel it takes to get them there, their food, their shelter, their electricity, all of that. Okay, and what they're saying in this article is they're going back and forth and they're saying, okay, we're wanting to send, we're $1 million a soldier and we're wanting to send 40,000 more. And they're discussing the cost here, and that's what that article is about. But I want to give you this. It says the average salary of a U.S. soldier, okay? As of 2012, the report is estimated that the average active duty soldier receives $99,000 per year in compensation. That includes pay and benefits, with 60% of the total being non-cash compensation, okay? All members of the armed forces, including those of the Army, receive salaries from a monthly basic pay table, okay? And it goes up as they have what's called a pay grade, okay? So it goes from E1 to E9, E9 being the highest. And it also depends on your rank, okay? But E1 grade, or private, earns a maximum of $17,000 annually, not including bonuses and allowances or other benefits. E4, or corporal soldier, earns $23,000 annually. And then the years that you have, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, that number continues to climb. At 4 years of experience as an E4, that's $28,000. And then it continues to climb. An E6, or sergeant, annual salary jumps to $27,000 for less than 2 years of experience, and 4 years of experience is $34,000, okay? So, and it keeps going, okay? They have, after that pay grade, it goes up, all right? So, they're saying the average is $99,000 per year, okay? And right now, we have active in our military, 1,369,000 people, active duty members. So if we multiply that, 1,369,532 times 99,000, we come up with 135,583,668,000. Okay, that's for just 1 year to pay those people. But don't forget about all the reserve and all the people that aren't active at this time. Okay, so you can see the money that's being spent there. So let's take a look at our structure here in the United States, the police and the highway patrol. Okay, it says the average salary of a local police officer is $56,160. A year, okay? So, $56,000 a year. And then we have, in the United States, we have 780,000 police officers, okay? So, we have 780,000 being paid at $56,000 a year, the average. That's $43,804,800,000, okay? So you can see just with these two right here, you're looking at close to $200 billion. There's a lot of money that's being spent on this war machine, and that's just in the United States. And, we'll continue to go forth in this and look at the other countries and how much they're spending. Because you look at China, they have a much larger army than the United States. And Russia does also. They have more manpower. So you know, it's important to watch these articles, watch the news, see what's going on, see how Yahweh's bringing this plan about. He's using this small group of people here. You know, we don't have much money, but you know what? We're going to bring about big things, okay? We're going to bring about this plan of Yahweh that is going to finish up this last day's work. And that's what Yahweh wants to show, is that you don't need money to do this. You don't need these things of the world. All you need is his laws, his plan, and his witness, his guide, sent to us in these last days to bring about this fulfillment of this last day's plan. So this, I encourage you, keep up the great work. I hope you enjoy your great Sabbath day here at the Great House of Yahweh. And I want to introduce to you the great Khan Benjamin Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, saints of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh on this great Sabbath day. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Wanted to bring something to your attention. You know, I remember a song when I was growing up where it was talking about how important it was to get on the cover of the Rolling Stone, and how he would not have lived until he got on the cover of this magazine. But I'm going to tell you right now, you can take that away. I can tell you right now, our endeavor should be to become teachers of peace. You want to be a rolling stone, or do you want to be a solid stone, this great stone at Abel, right? That's immovable, because a rolling stone is going to roll away into the ocean very soon. The title of my sermon today is Ask of Me. Now, I want to show you a copy of a very awesome manual, The Peaceful Solution, Grade 5, Do Not Steal, and I'm going to be reading from page 115 about the importance of asking. It says, students will learn that asking shows respect for others and their possessions. They will learn that asking plays an important part in our daily lives. It is a means by which we interact with others, or a means to obtain information, knowledge, and to make a choice. Students will also learn that being alert and asking the right questions can keep them safe, help them make right choices, and prevent conflicts. And they'll also learn that answering truthfully when asked a question shows that they're honest and helps them gain the trust of others. Now, Yahweh owns everything. Let's turn over to Psalm 21, Psalm 24. Always getting nervous in front of all of you great saints, the greatest teachers in the world, under the greatest teacher in the world, the great Khan Benjamin Hawkins. Psalm 24:1, it says, the earth, that's page 442, the earth is great Yahweh's and its fullness, that means everything that's in it. The world and all people are Yahweh's. Now, also, Yahweh, remember in Exodus 34, another possession that Yahweh has is he possesses righteousness and truth. That means he owns it. He created it. Okay? And, you know, do you think that he would just let anyone use that? Turn over to 2 Corinthians, and I'm just going to give you an example. Remember ownership. Remember everything we've learned in the Peaceful Solution about ownership. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter, bear with me just a second. Actually, I'm jumping just a little bit ahead. Yahweh's the owner of all things, and as the owner of all things, he has the right to set rules regarding his possessions and who he shares those things with. So if we want to own, if we want to share this creation with Yahweh and the things that Yahweh wants to give us, we have to play according to the rules and go by the rules that he shows us. Also, turn over to Daniel 4:17 real quick. Sorry I jumped ahead in Corinthians, but we'll go back there. Daniel 4, and we're going to look at, verse 17, where it says, it's on page 675, it says, this decision is by the decree of the watchers and the sentence by the word of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that Yahweh rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomsoever he wills. and establishes over it the basest of men, meaning the most lowly, the most meek, the most humble. These are the ones that Yahweh is going to put over his creation. The ones that learn to do what we're going to talk about today, and that is ask. And learn the importance of asking in the plan of Yahweh. Now, go over to Psalm 2, verse 8. Psalm 2, verse 8. I'll give you a page number. It's on page 434. Psalm 2, verse 8 says, ask of me, comma, ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance. The ends of the earth will be for your possession. And Pastor gave an excellent sermon that I think all of us need to go back and listen to, that I know some of us went back and listened to this week. It was called Ask, and it was from 1099, I believe, is the month, 10-1-99. You can check with the mailroom. We need to go back and listen to that again, because what is it that we need to ask for? Everything. Everything. And you know, from the moment we get out of bed in the morning to the moment we go to sleep at night, that's what we should be doing. That's in fact what we're doing. Now, we need the, and this all goes back to that law of possession that Pastor was talking about. And remember, it's all about do not steal. It's all about do not steal. What Yahweh's trying to teach us is not to steal. Not to steal from others, and not to steal worship from him like Satan did, as you can read about that in Isaiah 14. Yahweh wants to make sure that we're all going to follow these rules and we're not going to steal in any way. Okay, that's the culmination of the peaceful solution. Do not steal. Do not steal safety, authority, all those things. Okay, now, ask. Turn over to Matthias 7:7. Remember, ask of me, ask of me. You know, there's some other words that you can that are synonymous with ask, and one of them is inquire, petition, question. Okay, there's many words if you look them up. But let's go to Matthias 7:7 on page 733, where Yeshua, the subtitle says, ask and you will receive. Now it says, ask, and it will be given to you. So I guess that means we just get down on our knees and we lift up our hands and we bow our head and we pray and we ask for whatever it is we want and we're going to get it. I mean, when I was a Christian, that's what I read. And when I didn't get what I asked for, I was like, man, what's going on, man? This must not be true. You know, it says ask, and I didn't get that Cadillac. You know, I didn't get out of jail. I thought if I asked to get out of this trouble I'm in, that Jesus is going to come into the courtroom on a white horse and rescue me. And I'm going to be set free. The judge is going to say, case closed. Go ahead. Go. I forgive you. No, it doesn't work like that. But we're going to learn more. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. I find that very interesting that, hope you all can see this. I find it very interesting that he uses the acronym ASK in Matthias 7:7. As you can see, he says ASK, A, SEEK, S, K, KNOCK, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. By the way, another interesting thing about Matthias 7:7, if you can see this, there's actually 21 letters in that verse, which is the three sevens. Okay, now remember what the peaceful solution, the chapter is called, the importance of asking. The importance of asking. And that's what we're learning in the house of Yahweh, is the importance of asking and inquiring of Yahweh. Inquiring of Yahweh. Because there's someone else you could be inquiring of and not even be aware that that's who you're inquiring of. And you have to be very careful. Let's continue reading. For what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, would give him a serpent? Now if you then, being sinful, know how to give righteous gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who's in heaven give righteous gifts? Remember, righteous gifts to those who ask him. Ask him, ask Yahweh. Therefore, all things... Oh, I'm sorry. I went ahead. Go over to Luke now, chapter 11, because he expounds on this a little more in Luke 11, and he gives you a little more information on what we should be asking for. You know, we shouldn't be asking to get our picture on the cover of the Rolling Stone, because that's the only reward we're going to have, okay? That Rolling Stone magazine is soon going to be, you know, it's not going to be printed anymore. It's going to be a thing of the past. Go to Luke 11, verse 9, where Yahshua says, "So I say to you, ask." And by the way, this is the parable of the persistent friend, okay? And he teaches the importance of being persistent in asking. That means you don't just ask once and get blanket coverage, or you don't just ask once and you don't get your answer. So you say, "Well, you know what? I called my counselor and they never answer. You know, they never answer when I call." Well, your counselors could be very busy. You know, most counselors are, but eventually you're going to get your answer, but you got to be patient. Remember, we're learning these positive character traits in the Peaceful Solution, and two of them I just mentioned, persistence and patience. Persistence and patience. Remember, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. Remember that? Squeaky wheels get the grease. You got to keep asking. Don't give up. And Yahshua showed the importance of this persistence. He says, "So I say, ask and it will be given, seek and you will find, knock and it will be open. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open." Skip down to verse 13. "If you then, being evil, know how to give righteous gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give these positive character traits found in the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program in the Building Moral Excellence Unit on page 21? To those who ask him." Okay, now, a lot of times we think asking is just, we go to somebody and we formulate a question and we speak a question. But you know, right now, everybody that's sitting in this sanctuary and everyone in the outlying areas that's tuned in is actually asking and inquiring of Yahweh right now. And you're not even saying a word, because you came here to get the answers, okay? You're listening with a believing mind. You've got your pen and paper, your book of Yahweh out, right? Everybody's got that, I can see. And you're asking and you're inquiring of Yahweh here at the place Yahweh chose. Remember, it's very important that you go to the place to ask these questions, to get these answers. And, you know, the world doesn't have answers. We know this. But the house of Yahweh has the answers, okay? Now, turn over to Deuteronomy, because remember, Yahweh sets the rules in how to acquire these possessions that he wants to give us. And it's his righteous pleasure to give us this kingdom. He told us that. Yahshua told us that. It's his righteous pleasure. Turn over to Deuteronomy 17:9. Remember, it says, go to the priest. That's on page 161. Go to the priest. Okay, well, wait a minute, you know, because there's some priests on the seven hills, isn't there? So, I wonder what priests he could be talking about. Well, remember, the scriptures are written here a little, there a little. Isaiah 28 talks about the here a little and the there a little, the way Yahweh writes this. Turn over now, just back a few pages, to Deuteronomy chapter 12. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 5. He says, "But you are to seek the habitation of your father, the house of Yahweh, the place which Yahweh your father shall choose out of all your tribes to establish his name." You know, not just the name of Yahweh, because others out there use the name Yahweh, okay? But his authority, set up his government, his dignitaries, his that he chooses. And there you must go. You must go. That's a must. That's a command, okay? Out in the world, if you know anything about law, shall, will, and must are what they call mandatory language. It has to be done. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. And if it's not done, you didn't fulfill the contract. So you must go there. There you must bring your burnt offerings, sacrifices, your tithes, special gifts you have vowed to give, your free will offerings, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks. And there in front of Yahweh, you and your family shall eat. And you shall walk around with a sour puss, right? No, that's not what he says. He says, put a smile on your face, enjoy yourself. You know, Think about the peaceful solution, the new workplace manual, right? Look, this is the workplace right here. You are in your workplace right now. And, you know, Solomon said there's nothing, you know, more great than enjoying the work that you do. Okay? Being joyful about your work, you know, being persistent in your work, you know, oh yeah, it gets hot. Yeah, it gets cold in the winter. Yeah, we have ups and downs when it comes to finances and so on and so forth. But you know what? Would you rather be any place than the house of Yahweh? Is there a life outside of the house of Yahweh? There is no life outside of the house of Yahweh. We need to get this in our head. Now, remember, Yahweh says to go to the place, go back to Deuteronomy 17:9. He told you where to go, to the house of Yahweh. Go to the priests who are Levites and to the judges in office at that time. Ask for their decision. And they will give you the sentence of judgment. And you must, it's mandatory that you must act according to the sentence they pronounce at the place Yahweh chooses. As Deuteronomy 12:5 said, be careful. Now remember, don't take these words lightly. It says, be careful to do all they order you to do. According to the law they teach you, you shall do. And according to the decisions they give you, you shall do. You must not turn aside to the right hand or to the left of the sentence they pronounce for you. So ask, you know, you got on your knees, you lifted up your hands and you asked. Well, no, I just showed you one way you ask. Because Yaakov, if you turn over to Yaakov, the book of Yaakov, chapter 1, he actually told us, you know, how to get these things that we want if we're lacking wisdom, if we're lacking these positive character traits that he talked about in Luke chapter 11. You know, if we want that spirit, that character of Yahweh, if we want to be in Yahweh's image, his character, his likeness, this is what we must do. Deuteronomy 1, Yaakov 1, verse 5 on page 953 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask it. Ask it from Yahweh. From Yahweh. From Yahweh. See, the editors won't have to go, from Yahweh, from Yahweh, from Yahweh. I already did it. Okay. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask it from Yahweh, who gives to all liberally and does not revile, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in conformity with the faith. Remember, the house of Yahweh is not going to conform to us. We need to conform to the standards and the laws and the rules of the house of Yahweh. It's not going to go the other way. It says, let him ask in conformity with the faith without doubting. You know, that means not turning aside. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. And don't let this man think that he's going to receive anything from Yahweh. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So he's telling us to ask in conformity with the faith. And we just read from the faith in Deuteronomy 17:9, Deuteronomy 12:5 as a couple examples. Those are how you conform to the faith. You do what the faith says, and you go to the place Yahweh chose, and you ask. And you ask the appropriate authorities. Remember, it said, go to the priest. It didn't say, go to your friend. It didn't say, go to the general store. Well, you can go to the general store to ask about items and so on and so forth. But when it comes to the decisions about the laws of Yahweh and to be taught the laws of Yahweh, you need to go to the priest. Okay, that's who we need to go to, and the priestesses. Okay, they're the authority that Yahweh set up. Remember, Yahweh sets the rules on how we're going to gain this inheritance. We all own everything now? We all have the possessions that we have? Do we own them? No, Yahweh owns everything, remember? Now, I'm reading from the Early Learning Manual on page Q. I want to read a little something here. It says, in the second paragraph, please note that full rights of ownership may not apply to a child unless given by the parent. That means that just because someone has a possession, like a house or a job or, you know, children, so on and so forth, does not necessarily mean that they have full right of ownership. For example, a parent may get supplies for a child to use at school, but does not give permission to the child to share, lend out, or allow others to touch the school supplies. Parents, as the true owner of all their children's possessions, may also allow other siblings to use them. So remember, you don't have the full rights of ownership until you prove to Yahweh that you will use it the right way and you will not handle it the wrong way. Remember what the Apostle Shaul said. Remember I told you, Yahweh possesses righteousness and truth. But you know, he's not just going to give that to anyone if they're going to use the word and handle it deceitfully. If they're going to twist it and manipulate it in some way. Now turn over to Isaiah chapter 8. We're going to look at verse 19. I'm running out of time. Isaiah 8, verse 19, found on page 535. It says, "And when they will say to you, seek those who have familiar spirits and for wizards who peep and who mutter, should not a people seek their father? Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living? Should we not seek Yahweh? Did Yahweh not tell us go to the place that Yahweh chooses? He didn't tell us to go to the dead. Well, who are the dead? Does that mean you got to go to one of those places where they have a seance and they call up supposed dead relatives or something? No, that's not what they're doing. Remember, the dead know nothing. The dead are asleep. They're waiting. They're awaiting their resurrection. Turn over to Ephesians, by the way. Ephesians, so we can clarify who these dead people are that he doesn't want you inquiring. He doesn't want us inquiring of. Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 1. Ephesians 2, verse 1. "And to you who were dead in your trespasses and sins." Remember, the dead that sit on the seven hills of Rome that worship dead saints, that get their decisions from the dead, these are the ones that we're not to go to. Now, does that mean just the ones that are sitting in the Vatican in Rome? No. Remember, all her daughters, you need to stay away from her daughters, okay? You need to stay away from anything outside the gates of the house of Yahweh if you're seeking answers to life. You're asking of the dead. You are inquiring of the dead. And if you continue and persist in inquiring of the dead, okay, there's going to be a consequence. And I'm talking about it could be a book. It could be an article. It could be a news story. That's why we're being shown these things here in the great house of Yahweh, so it can be shown to us what to watch out for, what to be careful for, how to interpret these things, okay? We can't do this on our own. Everything needs to come from Yahweh. Yahweh is our owner, okay? And I don't know about you, but I don't have a problem with that. I'm glad that Yahweh owns us, that he takes care of us, and he's given us the greatest leader on the face of the earth in these last days, who's taught us the greatest program on the face of the earth. Now, you know, if you want to inherit the nations, you know, remember, our forefathers, Abraham, Acts 7:5 said he didn't even have a foot of land to put his foot on. Hebrews 11:13 and the end of the chapter in Hebrews 11 tells you that they have not received the promises, but we are going to receive them together, and the obedience of the nations will be ours. But we have to prove ourselves, and this will be at the appointed time that Yahweh sets for this to take place. But remember, I really encourage everyone, you know, ask. Don't cease in praying. You know, a lot of times it seems like, oh, I have to pray again. You know, come on. You know, if you were a father and your son came to you like, oh, man, I'll talk to you. I mean, be joyful that you have contact with the creator of the universe, that you can go to him, that you know his name, okay? That is the greatest gift, you know, that Yahweh's giving us. We know his name. We know his laws. We're learning his laws. We're learning the peaceful solution. Don't quit asking. Keep going to your counselors. Keep going to those in authority that Yahweh has set up in these last days. You're doing great. At this time, if you would all please stand. I'm going to ask you to stand. And I'd like to turn it over to the great Kohan, Ilya Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. Today in the news, we're going to be looking at some of the choices that mankind have been making and how dangerous our world has become, starting off with a flesh-eating bacteria that people are contracting down in Florida. A man, just from going fishing, ended up getting a bacteria, and it ate him from inside out within 48 hours. Also, Ebola. The only doctors that are confident about Ebola are the ones that are on the other side of the world, obviously. this outbreak is spreading. Think about this. So one doctor says that you don't have to worry about it. It's not airborne. It's not like someone can sneeze on you and you get it. You have to exchange some kind of bodily fluid. And one of the examples they gave was spit. Now, I don't know if you've ever sneezed in front of a mirror, but there's a lot of things come out when you sneeze. So watch what these doctors are saying and then take common sense along with it. And also Russia, sanctions on Russia. Watch how they're being put on Russia so Russia can no longer buy, sell, or trade unless they comply. And President Obama says some things, and listen to what he says about the choices that were made, how it didn't have to be that way. NATO also warns Russia that they better back off. And then, of course, Israel and the ceasefire. Look how successful the quartet, or what's left of the quartet, is in bringing peace to Israel right now. So at this time, if we could please play the news. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan, Yisrael Abel Hawkins. Shalom, everyone!
Wow, you're looking great. Look at this. Wonderful, wonderful, Yahweh. Come on now. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with you. The world doesn't have any peace. They're suffering from God allergy. It's spreading all over the world. The Vatican, of course, is the leader of this, as the scripture shows, as prophecy shows. The Vatican was created, if you want to listen to me, the Vatican was created in 1929. That's 5 years before the one who opposes the Vatican was created, was born. I was born in 1934. The Vatican was created in 1929. The Vatican sits inside of Rome, the Seven Hills of Rome, by the way. And of course, the apostle who Yeshua gave to record his words, the apostle Yochanan, he knew about this, and he knew that he was going to be opposed, and he knew that that the Vatican would be the leader of the kings of the earth at this time, and warned of the plagues that we're seeing coming right now. It couldn't be any plainer. The prophecies couldn't be any plainer. The Vatican, you'd never guess this, I don't think, but the Vatican itself is made up of about five different words, and they all mean prophecy. Prophecy. Prophesied, prophesying, prophecy. Vatican. If you remember what the prophets said, Jeremiah and also Isaiah, he said they will have darkness. They won't be able to prophesy anymore. They will have darkness. They'll look for light, but they'll have darkness. They won't be able to know what the future holds. Teller of the future, fortune teller. That's what the word Vatican means. And of course, their prophesying is about like the fortune telling that's going on now in the world. It's worthless. It lies in darkness, as the prophet said. The one that's opposing the Vatican, we sent out a news release this past week. Only one book is needed to eliminate all our problems in a news publication. There's about 44,000 already running that newspaper, news medias. I was glad to see they listed just a few of the places that's running this. One of them is Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Big one. Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Another one is Nashville, Tennessee. Another one is 10 Albany, New York. Praise Yahweh. New York City. News media. You have been tricked into worshiping Satan. That was an article we ran last week. That's up to 83,000. News media is running it. I see Israel Hawkins says prayers for rain result in violent hail because prayers are not being heard in this news article. That's up to 82,000. Now, both of those ran the same week. I'm getting ahead on letters, so we decided to run two there that week. And both of them, one of them is 83,000, over 83,000. The other one is almost 83,000. Let foreign children come to the U.S. for training, and we'll take them right here and teach them the peaceful solution. That is being run by several, and it's up to 78,000 now. News media is running that for us. It'd be great if we could get about 78,000 here at one time. Talk about raps. Of course I like rap. I like egg in it and sausage and things like that. Some of the rap that I hear is pretty great coming from the house of Yahweh. The super earth planets, now they've now figured out they have oceans and they're much like our own earth. I'm ready to go take our seat there anytime Yahweh gets ready for us. I want to start here by showing you, I called David yesterday and told him I needed him to work, and he was running just a little, you know. didn't have time to go grocery shopping, didn't have time to do anything but come back to work. But I tell you what he came up with. If you wanted to turn to 2 Samuel, now this was inspired because I used a scripture in 2 Samuel. I didn't use this one, but the one that was typing the article, she put down more than what I had put down. I was using 31 through 33, and she put down 31 through 36. And then she puts a note by it and says, "Is this right? It doesn't sound right." I would have never seen it if it hadn't have been for Nora putting that down. And I praise Yahweh for it, because the reading in the King James and all the scriptures, including ours, was, "He trains my hands to make war," speaking of Yahweh training his hands to make war, "so my arms can bend a bow of bronze." Now, boy, that's a lot of strength, right? Not nearly the strength that you have and are going to be teaching. The strength that you have will turn the Leviathan around. Yes. The words train here actually means, according to Benjamin Davidson and the analytical Hebrew lexicon, it actually means to teach. If you go over to Daniel quickly, I wanted to show something several times, and then I decided not to show it at that time. But now would be a great time for it, I think, for you to see this again. I think I pointed it out before. Daniel 12. Daniel was given the prophecies, the same prophecies. Now listen to me. Daniel, in Daniel 12, was given the same prophecies that the Savior gave in Matthew 24, or Matthew 24, which shows the last generation of mankind. Daniel speaks of the last days here. The Savior said that would be the last generation when we see these things. And Daniel said in verse 4, he said, under inspiration, he says, "Go, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book to the time of the end. Many will run to and fro, and knowledge will be increased." Now, I know that you remember the sermons about the knowledge being increased in this generation. It wasn't increased until this generation, and if you've read the prophetic word, I told you I was born in 1934, and if you've read that newsletter or the prophetic word that shows this, both the computer and the nuclear bomb were both patented in 1934, the very year that I was born. Now, we got that out for print. Now, if you had this machine, the Israel Hawkins says machine, this program, if you had it now on your computer and you had these books listed, if you had them listed in this program, you could type that in, 1934, and you could see, by pushing a button, you could see every place this is mentioned in every book, every sermon. Every sermon. And it just draw it right up for you and show you the book to grab. And turn to the page and read it. And from the first to the last. It'll also have, eventually, the mark of the beast. And by the way, that program is just about ready. It's just about ready for you to get. And this is going to be the greatest thing that computers could put out that I know of. The very greatest thing that the computer has actually brought about. But this means to teach, and Daniel says here, to close up the books now. And he said, "Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood two others, one on this side of the bank, one on the other side of the bank of the river. This, as I've shown, are the two witnesses." Then he shows a man clothed in linen. If you look back to verse 3 now this shows the time period here, the time of the two witnesses. Before this, the first verse shows the nuclear activities and the plagues, the greatest time of trouble ever. And that's what Yahshua was showing in Matthew 24, the greatest time of trouble ever. And in verse 3, this is you. I hope everyone saw the beginning of this services today. My heart's still swollen way out like this. Ah, boy, what a wonderful sight. Beautiful. Made me think of Yael and what Yahweh said our young people would be doing at that time. But verse 3 of chapter 12, he said, we'll look at verse 2. "And many of those who sleep in the dust," that is, the dust of the earth. You know, this is death. I've got to bring a sermon on death, but y'all could be studying this yourselves. You know, what is death? Well, what is life? It should be obvious to the scientists to know that Yahweh put together the kingdoms of microorganisms, and of course he gave the command for them to go to work, running a body that you could enjoy, that you could actually enjoy your body. You couldn't enjoy it while you was laying in the dust of the earth, could you? But that's what you're made out of, the dust of the earth. Or as Genesis says, with all the things with which the earth creeps, the live things with which the earth creaked. You know, speaking of this arm being alive, do you know you couldn't make it without that being in your body? Yes, arm. You have to have arm. When they get my age, normally they go Geritol. I don't use Geritol, but I can outrun those that do. But he says, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake. Now, if you know about the resurrection, you know all that I've brought about the resurrection, you know that we're going to resurrect the dead. Now, this is where you get the authority that Yahweh promised you in Genesis 1:26. Remember, the authority, I'll make man in my image, and I'll give him authority. Satan had authority to create and maintain flesh at first, but she lost it. The minute she turned to sin and started pushing mankind to sin, the microorganism kingdoms would no longer obey her. And this is what brings healing. It's what creates food for you to eat, is the micro kingdoms. And the obedience of those micro kingdoms when Yahweh gave them the order to produce food for this body that's also made up of micro kingdoms. So when you die, what takes place? Well, these micro kingdoms go back to the dust from which they were taken. Yes, all of you, every one of you were taken from the dust. Your bodies, the microorganisms that run your body right now, was given to your mother and daddy. Your mother and daddy, who had the seed, just like chickens and eggs, they eat feed and they lay eggs. And a hen can actually sit on those eggs, and that microorganisms will go to work inside that egg and actually form another chicken. Just like the chicken that laid the egg. Well, that's the way you are. That you're made up of these microorganisms. And when you die, yes, the microorganisms, yes, they'll remain alive as dust of the earth, creeping things of the earth. You won't be able to enjoy that body anymore until it's resurrected again. And you will have the power. That's what Yahweh wants you to have, the authority. It's authority to tell the microorganisms to put this body back in action again. Come and form it again. Yes, the dust of the earth. And you'll be able to tell the dust of the earth, which is alive and listening right now, as these posts are alive and listening. And the frames and the paint. Believe it or not, the paint is alive. You know what it's made from? The dust of the earth. The same thing that you're made from. But you're made from things that you can that put the body together, work together, so you'll have a brain to think with, and actually taste food and enjoy that food. Yes, you can enjoy living. You won't be able to do that if your body turns back to dust and the dust goes back to the earth. You won't be able to think. And the gas that comes off of that, no, it'll return to heaven. A gassy God can't enjoy anything. Well, many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake. This is not the sermon. I'll never get to the sermon. I see that now again. But it's anyway, you need this. We'll awake. You're going to have a resurrection of the dead. Guess who's going to do that? Just guess. This body right here that Yahweh has put together, right here. You're going to be given authority to actually resurrect the dead, which means you can resurrect your grandmother and granddaddy and all of those that you love so dearly. Awake. I could tell you many stories right now about my grandmother who I taught to make greaseless gravy, and she just loved me for it. I'm going to make her some more one of these days. Praise God. Earth will awake some to everlasting life, those who prove true to Yahweh, and some to shame and contempt. And he said, those who are wise, if you had a King James reference Bible, where I noticed it first, I think, was in the Hertel Blue Ribbon Bible that I used to sell when years and years ago, about 100 years ago. It had the word, a little number there by it, and in the reference it said, teach. Those who are teachers. And that's what it should have been translated. Those who are teachers will shine as the stars of heaven. You see that? You talk about glory. You talk about glory. Now, Yahweh has purposed, as Yahshua showed in Yochanan, the fifth chapter. Yahshua said, Yahweh is giving honor to me so that man may honor the Son of Man, may honor the Son of Man as they honor the Father. You get that? He wants you to be honored as he is honored by Abraham himself. By Abraham, Sarah, all the ones, the wise ones in our past who chose what Yahweh created to be done in the first place. You know, people have lost sight of this, but the only reason you were created was to learn how to receive that authority. And then practice that learning that took place. Practice it till you become perfect, in perfect unity. What does that mean? It's perfect unity with what Yahweh created, the microorganism. And when you become perfect in unity with these microorganisms, then they will believe you, trust you. Yahweh will make it possible for them to hear you. Yes. Give an order. Yahshua says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Well, the microorganisms were part of that sheepfold that he was talking about. The microorganism says, you, the living bodies that Yahweh created out of the microorganisms by putting all these kingdoms of microorganisms together, there's probably, I think they said, they told me, I think this came from word of mouth, I may have read it, but I think they said there were 16,000 kingdoms in your eye making it possible for you to see. 16,000 microorganism kingdoms, different kingdoms of microorganisms in one eyeball, making it possible for you to see. Now, it takes a lot more than that for the eye to transmit this vision to your brain so you can say, hey, I see. You see what I'm talking about? If one of those microorganisms died in your eyeball, you would notice a vision depletion. If several of them died, you could go blind. If you don't eat eggs, are you listening? If you don't eat eggs, you could go blind. And that's the only place you can get one certain thing that keeps your eyes strong and healthy. It's from eggs. Yes. Now, isn't that something? The microorganisms in that egg are dreadfully needed for your vision, for strong vision. And if you don't get it, you can go blind. And they say once you go blind from this depletion, then you'll never get it back. There's other foods that it come in, but not the quantities that you get from eggs. Well, here are the teachers, those who are wise, those who are teachers. Chapter 12, verse 3, will shine as the brightness of the heavens, and those who teach righteousness as the stars forever and ever. He said it in two ways to make it believable. Those who teach are the teachers of righteousness. You're going to shine forever and ever. Teachers of the universe. That's the authority. The authority to teach. Well, you're learning to teach now. You'll be given authority to teach later if you prove that you'll live by what you teach. That is righteousness. The righteousness of Yahweh. Well, in Samuel now, the translators of this, the Vatican, they want war. They want to rule by force. And of course, that's what you see going on in the world today. And they're wanting to resurrect the Roman Empire, but they have a lot of problems in doing this. They have a lot of objections. But they translated, the same ones, the Vatican, who has these long-range plans, because they have the keys of this blood, as Malachi Martin brought out, and they think that they're acceptable. They know they're acceptable to the gods, and they have taken Yahweh out of the picture because Yahweh stands for righteousness. But the gods don't stand for righteousness. They stand for evil. And, of course, what we're suffering right now is from that evil of the gods. But they're the ones that translated this. But the authorities say this can't be translated in this way. He trains my hands to make war. Yahweh didn't train his hands to make war. He didn't give him muscles in his arms to draw back a bow and kill someone. That wasn't the purpose in giving him muscles. Kingdoms that make up your muscles. Very, very soon we'll have that for you, where you can actually look at all the kingdoms that make up every portion of your body and see how it works. Anyway, that word is actually to teach. The same thing that's used right here in Hebrew and Daniel 12:3. The word is teach. The word means the word trains. That is the English word. Word trains, that they translated trains, is actually means to teach, and Yehuda will be given this soon with all the details. The words in the next paragraph there, words in that line, the words my hands. Listen to what this really means by the analytical Hebrew in Chaldee's lexicon by Benjamin Davidson. Also, the Hebrew Aramaic English dictionary by Marcus Jethro, which shows this word means throughout all generations, the beloved. Wow. Now, this is hands. My hands. Throughout all generations, the beloved son of Abraham shall rise and build a chosen structure, the house of Yahweh, to Yahweh in the lot of the beloved, that in it the chosen ones, that's you, brethren, the chosen ones, Israel may be atoned for. I told you, you're my crown. You're my crown, and you're going to be Yahweh's servants, his instruments of glory forever. The words, you see why the teachers are going to shine as the brightness of the heavens. Just reading that. That they deliberately changed, because there's no way you can get that out of this actual Hebrew that is written there. The words to make war, according to these same lexicons, means to feast or feasting. Yes, feast or feasting. Given the first time in Genesis in the Garden of Eden, where he set the feast and the laws. The words, my arms, my arm strong? Well, it doesn't mean the arms on his body. It's a strength. It means strength. According to the lexicons, this word means strength. Remember what Yahweh's strength is? Malachi 4. Strength of Yahweh is his laws, statutes, and judgments. It can change the mind. No bow can do that. No force can change the mind. You might make them tolerate it, but you won't make them peaceful with it. Strength, power, might of Yahweh. The word bend, like they used to bend the bow, means the law, sets. That word sets is spelled S-I-T-S, which means judges. The law, judges. The word bow actually means strong. The word bronze actually means serpent, fetter. That's like chains, where she chains, she won't let my people go. She keeps them in bondage. She won't release them, as Isaiah 14 says, where he shows the actual death of Satan herself. Well, the quartet now. The Press TV, also you saw this from RT, the Russian news. Press TV said, U.S., and the EU push Russia towards war. I don't see that in prophecy, but it could be that I haven't seen it yet, and it could be there somewhere. But I don't see Russia being the one. But now I can see where this could lead to other nations being brought to nuclear war here. A bit, but because of this push to hold back Russia from taking in Ukraine, which they are wanting to come to Russia. Right now, they are being led by a forced democracy, and they don't like it. And of course, part of them have left Ukraine, and the Pope is afraid that the rest of them are going to want to leave this democracy that they're in, that's led by the West and furnished by the West and taught by the West. That means the United States, of course. But the Pope doesn't want them to go back to Russia, where she won't be getting her tithes from them any longer, because no one in Russia sends their tithes to the Vatican. So they're a different religion, and they're going to keep it that way, they said. Well, they want to change. They want to bring Russia down to bowing to the Pope. Putin went to see the Pope, and the Pope, we don't know what was said, but he always gives orders to the world leaders. Apparently those orders are not being carried out by the Pope, by the Putin, by Russia. American and European governments are saying that they are not seeking to confront Russia militarily. But what else can you see? What else can you make of their latest broadside of sanctions aimed at the heart of the Russian economy? To threaten a country's vital interest in the way that the U.S. and the European Union are doing against Russia has to be seen as an impact, a declaration of war. This week, the EU finally went along with American pressure to hit Russia's key economic sector. In previous months, the Europeans were, by and large, resisting Washington's shrill calls for positive measures beyond the symbolic sanctions against a list of individual Russian businessmen, leaders, and politicians. Now the gloves have come off, with the EU announcing this week that it would apply the sectorial economic sanctions that the Americans have been imperiously blaring for. The Financial Times reports the EU announcement of sweeping measures intended to cripple the Russian economy and convince the criminal to abandon its support for separatists. Abandon its support for separatists. Of course, the ones that have left Ukraine and come to Russia, they see this as a freedom from this forced oppression that our forefathers suffered in Egypt, that our fathers, my father, and many millions of others suffered here in America. They're still suffering from these same things. It's forced oppression. The only thing that we have different here is more wealth. Ukraine, the separatist in Ukraine, was followed by a new round of similar U.S. penalties. Note here the stated intention to cripple the Russian economy. Meanwhile, the New York Times reported the United States and Europe kicked off a joint effort on Tuesday intended to curb Russia's long-term ability to develop new oil resources. That means if they develop their new oil resources, that means wealth for them. They don't have to go with the petrodollar of buying oil from the United States. Taking aim at the Kremlin's primary source of wealth and power in retaliation for its alleged intention on Ukraine. Note here the taking aim of the Kremlin's primary source of wealth and power. This full frontal assault on Russia, on Russia's vital economy or economic interest, this full frontal assault on Russia's vital economic interest is terminant to an act of war. Well, if the others get involved, I want you to turn over to Revelations. I've got to show you this before we quit. Revelations, the sixth chapter, or at least I'll get into it a little, get started in it. Revelations 6 here, we see the quartet. Now, Russia is a member of the quartet. The quartet, too, was created in 2002, for the purpose of fulfilling this prophecy right here. It was spoken of by the Savior and Yochanan. Y'all should be really interested in this. The quartet, these four nations, the U.S., the EU, Russia, and the UN. This was created to bring peace to the Middle East, of course, by the Vatican, who rules the quartet. Now, here we have a member of the quartet that doesn't agree. We have Russia, who is stepping out. So it's a house or a kingdom divided can't stand. And this is what you see in the Kremlin. You also see it in the Vatican, because the Vatican has big-time problems. They're wanted. They see they can't rule, and they're losing ground right now. Other religions are growing faster than the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is actually diminishing right now because of their own activities. And of course, the people don't like this. What's taking place, and this will help you to see that the world is all tied together, what's taking place in West Africa. Are you up on that news? If not, you need to be up on that news that's taking place in West Africa. The Ebola outbreak in West Africa. They're not too worried about it in the United States. That tells me something. It should tell you something. In fact, they brought some people back here to treat them that went there from ACU. The doctor got this, and they brought him back to America now. But this right here, this Ebola, it had to be created somewhere or another. Now, either it was created by relations with animals, which they're saying that. But it doesn't start spreading like that, you know, without a reason. It normally stays within that person's body and kills him. It can be transferred to other people, but not as rapidly as what this is spreading right now and going from country to country. But you can bet for sure the scripture right here is right in that the one pretending that's riding the white horse that was created, the Vatican I'm speaking of, in 1929, she's the one riding the white horse that you see right there in verse 2, that's got a bow. You see the bow? War, to create war. It's got a bow in her hand and a crown, and she has the authority. She gives the quartet authority to go out conquering and to conquer, and this is what you're seeing right now. But of course, now you have a division between the United States, the EU, the UN, and Russia, who is separated. And of course, it shows the weakness that Daniel said was in this great image that looked so great and strong, but it had a weakness like iron and clay. Put some clay in this iron post right here, and it would crumble and fall. And that's what he's referring to, this great image that we see in the seven hills of Rome, the God worshipers, that's suffering from God allergy all over the world at this time. Well, he says here, the Lamb opened the seal because it was sealed up and given to Daniel. Remember in Daniel 12, the time of the end. And Daniel says, well, I see two others teaching this. Daniel, he saw it, and that was the last thing he saw, was a few words from me given in Daniel 12. Yes, he actually saw me speaking, and my brother too, in the last days, and said the words that I would be saying. Now, this is a pretty marvelous thing that we're seeing here. And he says, the Lamb opened the seal, opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, one of these four powers. If you look back to chapter 4 there on the same page, you see this again, these four. And if you look back to verse 1, he says, after this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking. A trumpet talking. Well, of course, the trumpet and the trumpeters, and I brought that sermon. If you had that machine right now, you could put in trumpet or trumpeter. That's all you'd have to put in that machine. And it'd bring those sermons up and everything that we brought on that sermon. And you could just rehearse it quickly, make out a sermon from it, preach your own, which is great. That's a great thing. Yahweh says that he wants you like your teacher. I want you like your teacher too. and our teacher over me and us is Yahshua Messiah. And one of the first things he did in his life was preach the Sabbath according to commandment. Now that says a lot right there. It says that he taught the Sabbath according to the law that wrote about the Sabbath and how you should keep it. Well, that's quite a change from what the Talmud did, you know, in adding all these things to the Sabbath and greatly polluting the Sabbath by adding strict laws that no one could attend. And then finally, after they moved to the Seven Hills of Rome, after they moved to Rome, then, before the Vatican was created, this is the great palace of the priest. The Vatican, where a lavish living is taking place right now. The Pope has to go downhill to get caviar. He has to go to the pharmacist. He ate dinner with the pharmacists, the pharmaceutical leaders. Because why? Remember chapter 17, where he shows that they will not repent of their sorceries? That's pharmacy. They're making big money off of death, destruction, off of babies being born without heads and faces. With great delight, they look at all the millions of defective babies being born now with defects that you can see, which you have to treat with doctor's cares. Yes. And they'll tell you when you come to the hospital, you've got to bring this baby back. I've already got appointments for him because this, this, and this is wrong with the baby. So you got to bring this baby back and we will monitor this baby. And they could fix up appointments for a year, you know, whatever they want to do. And if you don't do it, then you could get thrown in jail for it. Be arrested. Yeah. These things are going on. What for? To make money. What's cancer treatments going on for? I didn't say this, but the article was read and the documentary was run right here showing what they do to you when you go to the hospital and they tell you you got cancer and we want to do this, this, and this to you. Why? Well, it brings this much money, and this much money. There's no cures. The congressman said, we've been at this for 48 years, pumping money into this, and what are you still doing? You're cutting, you're poisoning, and you're burning. The same thing that you did 48 years ago. And this doesn't cure cancer, and the man was angry when he said it. There is no cure for cancer, he said. In 48 years running here, you've done nothing to find a cure for cancer. Well, what are they still doing it for? It told you in that documentary, for money. The Pope, yes, he went to visit with the pharmaceutical leaders just last week. He had to step down, of course, to get to them and go stand in line for a meal to get to them, these rich men, very rich men. Well, they're that much below what goes on in the Vatican. He stepped down quite a few steps to get to the richest men on earth that govern the pharmaceuticals that brings in the money to the Vatican. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you!